Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome everybody again to the Anti-Pattern Podcast. Together with me in Mannheim is again Christian to our 12th episode, the Dirty Dozen. But we will name the episode differently, not Dirty Dozen. Yeah. We have something better to share with you guys. So today is going to be about customer use cases. In other words, what we're currently developing, the development team, is basically release 2508, so our August release, our first release, with these, let's say, the platform functionality, right? We do not build any use cases yet, right? We just deliver the platform, the modeling engine. We already talked about this stuff, right? And today we want to look into the future and say, so what are potential use cases out there that we see are obviously something that we could support with the platform, right?
Yeah, right. And I think the one or the other who is into the topic of PLM and digital thread systems might have already the idea that our platform is very flexible and you could build
potentially
any use case.
Yeah.
So with the ERP, with the entity relationship and property mechanism, you can model everything and therefore also manage data of any kind with it. But this is more for the long run, and for the starters, it would make much more sense if we would work on use cases with our customers, which are more in the fields we are already experts in, which is everything about the product development process, product data, and so on.
Right. It helps that we also know something about the process, not just the customer, right? So it makes sense that we start with something that we have learned over the years, and it is basically industrial product data, industrial, you know, processes. And we came up with five use cases that make a lot of sense to us. The first one would be, and I'm not sure how I want to call it. I guess I want to call it product structure, multi-view bomb, not multi-bomb. Right, multi-view bomb, and there's a big difference because in the past, and that has been one of the big problems, right? Bill of material, and I hate the term. I hate the term because I think it's a lie. Bill of material has been basically copies of each other, right? You have an e-bomb, then you have somewhere an m-bomb, then you have some spare part bomb or a service bomb or whatever, right? And those things were lying in different places in the same tool or in different tools, right? And you had a synchronization process between them if something changed, and you had to change it here, there, and over here, right? And this is the multi-bomb approach. What we envision is something different, and that is the multi-view bomb approach. And that means you have an underlying product structure with the same parts and assemblies, and only the structures are changing, right? And the structure represents different views on the product structure. Those views are then basically the bombs, right? So for the user, doesn't change much, right? There is no big difference to how he is been or has been used to do things, right? It's only the tool supports it way more efficiently because we don't have that redundancy every time. And if we change something, we don't have to change it everywhere, here, there, and over here. You only have to change it one time. It's usually hard to explain, right? But it's the better approach in terms of a tool support, right? And especially talking about our platform, we want to be based on a graph database, right? And also here we see it necessary to say that approach is way better supported in a graph database because we have a lot of edge attributes on it, data model for this, right? And so it makes a lot of sense to start with something like this. And we assume we will find a lot of industrial companies having problems in the field of EBOM, MBOM, SBOM synchronization, right? And with our multi-view BOM or product structure application, maybe in the beginning a POC, right, obviously, and later a standard application, right, we think we will find a lot of people we can make happy with it, right?
I think so too. The second use case is about our background of MBSE a little bit,
right?
Is the RFLPT traceability.
We should say what RFLPT stands for.
Yeah, it stands for requirements, functions, logical system elements, physical system elements, and the test cases.
Right.
And those kind of objects are normally modeled in different tools.
Yeah. Right.
Some of them are summarized in SysML. So I won't say we want to be a SysML V2 tool. This would be a
not
little bit
yet
much
at least. It's a bit much for the beginning. Yeah.
But nonetheless, the traceability through those kind of elements is a very usual use case you find, because you would like to have or like to see in a graph view or in another view the full coverage of the V model.
Right, right.
And the really interesting thing is that we see this use case a little bit extended than others, because just querying the data and viewing the data is one thing. The more important thing would be to have this bidirectional navigation.
Yep, that you can change something in other systems as well, and not just view and read from other systems.
Exactly. So navigating is the one thing, and sending data back and forth is
the other thing.
Especially when it comes to changes.
Yeah, and that brings us, thank you, that brings us to the next use case, and that is enterprise change management, or the enterprise change process, right? And this is something you can then do if you have that bidirectional navigation or interface with all of the connected tools, right? We could then run a engineering change or an enterprise change over multiple connected tools, right? So if you are familiar with CM2, configuration management tool, one of the most cited or known standards in that field, right? Or the VDA from automotive industry, right? German automotive industry, VDA 4965. I had to look that up, right? I don't know that by heart. There's another standard for change and engineering change process. So if you know that and want to understand or manage how a problem report from the field leads to an engineering change request, to an engineering change order, to an engineering change notice, what role the change control board place here, right, and how you support that process to actually make sure that changes are tracked and brought into the product, and then the new version of the product is then released. So if you want to control that process, this is usually something we call the enterprise change process, right? Mm-hmm. And we could do this federatively, right? Not just in one big system. We can do it on top of multiple systems that deal with the involved product data, right? This would be the third use case that we can envision. Makes sense to do this because we have the flexibility to bring it in, right? And we have the integration capabilities to connect to other tools.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of integration, I think it was the last episode we talked about integration and
could be, yeah.
And also the standardization,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is also important for our fourth point here. It's the data transformation, because our platform would be like the spider in the web.
Yeah. Right.
So we would like to sit on top and integrate in many systems. And as Michael also already stated, we would like to have this bidirectional interaction between the tools. And this might lead that you need to, speak in different languages to different tools.
Right.
To make it easy. And therefore, we need these kind of transformations between the data which comes from a system,
right,
bringing it into our platform, saving it, managing it, and then reading it and bringing it into another system.
Right.
And in the best case, it's just another serialization. In other cases, you have to map a little bit more, and therefore we already have a pretty nice implementation of a mapping builder. And this will be another story.
this is going to be another story. And there's a video of it, right? It was basically the first thing, mm-hmm, basically, that we completely implemented out with a nice drag and drop. We can see that later, right? Once we have released the platform. So this is important, data transformation, depending on what kind of data we will find, right? But we can definitely support it. And then coming to the fifth use case, we always talk about the full life cycle, right? Mm-hmm. Many people that talk about the full life cycle, what they then do is how do we bring together engineering and manufacturing? And then they stop. And this is not a full life cycle, right? The operation of the technical system is there as well, right? And that comes later after manufacturing. You have to deal with the industrial system that is out there, right? Make sure it's maintained, make sure it's still operative, right? And this is then the fifth use case. We would call it asset management or handling of equipment structures, right? So if you talk about full life cycle, how do we make sure we come from an engineering structure, multi-view bomb, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. How do we transform that into an equipment structure? That usually the equipment structure is shorter because you only have the components in there that are necessary for maintenance, right? Not all of it is usually serialized, right? Sometimes you may find really rare examples where everything is serialized, right? But usually not all of it, right? And not all of it is maintenance relevant, right? But you need to make sure that the things end up there and they have a, let's call it role model, not to say type definition, right? But role model in the engineering structure, right? So how do you make sure you bring the structures together and transform one to the other and then end up in the equipment structures, right? That's obviously a missing or a blind spot of many PLM systems out there. Many claim they can do this, right? Mm-hmm. But I've rarely see it, to be honest. And the question, of course, then is what do you do with the equipment data when once it's there, right? You obviously have to support some kind of maintenance process in the field of MRO, right? Mm-hmm. Maintenance, repair, overhaul, right? That's important. And this, you know, scope basically would be our fifth use case that we could envision, because then all of those five together, we could, you know, basically say we cover the full life cycle from engineering to operation, and we can run a change process on top of it. Even if we don't do everything in our tool, right? We are using different tools out there and connect everything together, right? With those five things, we basically can support the whole vision that this company has.
Yeah, and we hope that we can show our first results in the August release and be demo ready after summer, therefore. Right. And of course, as Michael already said, these are basic use cases we think we can deliver in some months.
Yep.
And of course, we have a roadmap of much more stuff, of much more functionality.
There is more to come.
Stay tuned. We would like to release every quarter.
Right.
So kind of a feature release every half a year, major release and a feature release in between. So this is the idea of what will come
for the next quarters to come. And if you're interested to see more, first of all, you can definitely schedule a demo meeting, a demo session with us, right? To see what our tool will look like. We start that in August, basically. And if you are having your own use cases, right? And if you want to understand what it means for your data and for your processes, we are now starting also to look for POC customers, right, that want to use our tool in their own setting with their own data, right, and to support their own processes. So get in touch with us if you want to work with us together in a POC project, proof of concept, right? That would be nice. We can learn a lot. We can show what we are capable of, right? And then we can together create a lot of value and co-innovate in that area. With that being said,
Thank you for listening in. Leave us
thanks
a comment,
everyone,
with your thoughts on it. Like, subscribe, share, and see you next time.
See you. Bye-bye.